What happens when the doors are shut in front of you? You may think that you can't do anything, that your voice will not be heard, that there is an agenda to suppress your activities and rights. However, some do acknowledge these points, but believe the doors can be opened. And when faced with difficulties, they strive and struggle to push them away to reach their goals and aims in life.
In this programme, I will explore some of the major obstacles British Muslims face in becoming more active and properly represented in the fields of politics and the media. I will highlight some of the ways in which they can overcome these hurdles and get their voices heard.
If you don't participate, you allow this to dictate.
I'm allowed to do it.
Oh, no, they got all the clauses, sir.
If people are engaged, change happens.
In January 2009, many protests were held in London and across the country against Israel's bombing and siege of Gaza. These protests, however, had greater implications, one that revealed a sense of dissatisfaction with the British government, a sense of frustration towards its policies at home and abroad. These feelings have been felt amongst many young British Muslims. A report by Forward Thinking was published in spring 2008 that aimed to explore the opinions of young British Muslims in today's society. One of the key findings of the report highlighted that the current political climate and public opinion of Muslims had negatively impacted upon them.
They felt that they were unable to overcome barriers both in employment, in social interaction with other people, and politically, it was a very charged atmosphere to be a young Muslim at the moment.
Many British Muslims feel that sections of the media have frequently portrayed an unfair and biased view of their faith, which they feared would further isolate them and reduce their career prospects.
Almost all young people mentioned the issues of the media as being one of the biggest hurdles that they see facing them as Muslims in the UK.
Dawood Abdullah of the Middle East Monitor and Imam of Acton Mosque believes there are many more obstacles British Muslims must overcome.
In the United Kingdom, Muslims are very much in need of addressing a number of social ills, a number of disadvantages that they face. Muslims are currently at the bottom of the social ladder in every indice, whether it's employment, whether it's in health, whether education, and even in front of the criminal justice system. So it is important that they engage and become a part of this process to inform it, to influence decision making as much as is possible.
With issues like the war in Iraq and civil liberties in our society, some British Muslims have felt a sense of victimisation and political powerlessness.
Various government departments do need to really look at issues of engagement in a really honest way rather than kind of make a media hype about wanting to talk to Muslims and get them involved in politics and civil life and democratic values, etc., whilst at the same time pursuing really arrogant policies and harebrained ideas.
I think over the last 5-10 years we've done more and more to engage with Muslim communities in this country, as well as other communities, and increasingly more and more engagement at the very grassroots level, talking to people.
We have a rather serious problem of Islamophobia in this country. If somebody stands for election as a Christian or as a Jew or any other faith, it's normally not an issue at all. And Islam appears to become something of an issue.
Confidence in the system has become a stumbling block for some British Muslims. Why engage in a democratic process that you believe is not representative? And why support a party that pushed for wars that you consider unjust?
I would say absolutely positively encourage more and more people from the Muslim communities and more generally to get involved in politics. you only get the politicians and the politics you deserve in the end. And again, specifically on the war, very, very hard decisions to be made. There'll be other hard decisions to make in the future, and the government and MPs need to be held to account for that, surely. But just because a government does one thing or a range of things that you don't like, I would implore people not to give up on politics, because that way lies madness.
At a conference in central London, four councillors encouraged British Muslims to participate in the political system, but pointed out some of the obstacles that lay ahead.
Okay, it is not easy. You have to have the skin of a rhinoceros. You really do. And I'm not going to underscore it for you. There will be political attacks. There will be personal attacks. Your faith will be thrown at you. You will be called a fundamentalist. You will be called a radical. But the reality is, the sweetest victory is for those who wait the longest and who persevere the longest.
It may well be true that British Muslims have faced discrimination. It may well be true that major parties are not representative. And it may very well be true that there are commentators and writers who fuel hatred towards British Muslims and seek to divide our society. But the question is, where do we go on from here? What ways could British Muslims get their voice and be counted?
This is the North London Central Mosque, previously known as the Finsbury Park Mosque.
Muslims have been avoiding politics for a very, very long time. And this has caused them what miserable state we are in at the moment. But still, there is a chance for Muslims to participate politically, vote, and show people that when they lobby with each other, they can either contribute to the success or the failure of one of the political candidates. We have a religious responsibility of establishing our existence in this land, working for the welfare of this land. I wouldn't find it by any means embarrassing to say that I love this land.
Mas'ud Shajara of the Islamic Human Rights Commission believes there's more to it than just joining political parties.
We Muslims are not able to remove one political party and bring another political party, even if that was desirable. I don't think there is a political party that is better than other one. If a politician is supporting injustices around the world, this is a pro-Zionist supporting the state of Israel, etc., 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 then remove him. We need to create a society where justice becomes so prominent that everyone benefits. You know, activism of single issues and campaigning right the way through and bringing awareness to the society and then bringing change through grassroots is the really way forward.
The Muslim Labour movement believe the answer lies in participation. The organisation strives to empower Muslims and aims to get their message across to the decision makers and policy makers so that their voice is listened to. Other similar movements include the Conservative Muslim Forum and the Lib Dem Muslim Forum.
On election day, it takes up to 70,000 people to elect an MP. It may take as little, a few as 200 people to select that candidate in the first place. So joining and participating in political parties is absolutely key and essential. The reality is that democracy is a double-edged sword, and if you don't participate, you allow others to dictate. So if parties are doing something that you don't like, it's up to you to get involved.
Councillor Talib's message is that if you don't participate, you allow others to dictate. Now, participation can take different forms. Politics isn't always about the big issues like international policy. But it's also at the local level, with everyday concerns like education, health, housing and crime. Politics is about improving society and the lives of citizens.
Right, we're just going to go see a local resident now who's got a casework issue. Casework is one of the main functions of a councillor. It really puts you in touch with the community and you really get to know about community issues, particularly individual cases. So let's go have a talk with Mr. Haggerty and see what issue he's got that he wants help with. Afternoon, Mr. Haggerty, how are you? Councillor Zaffer.
Good.
How are you doing? You all right?
Not too bad.
Good stuff. So you got an issue that you want me to have a look at?
Yeah.
Should we go have a take a look?
Right.
Mr. Haggerty, what's this? All has been dumped here, fly-tipped, has it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just disgraceful.
It is, really.
Makes the place really unsightly.
I know, it's horrible.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get onto the streetcar officer on Monday.
Yeah.
And we're going to get him to get sorted out and cleaned up.
Right.
And also some of the hedges as well you're talking about.
Yeah. All that hedge from here. Down
right.
There.
Let me make a note of that.
Yeah.
One of my main roles as a councillor is to help individuals with their individual problems and also to work as part of the decision-making process to make sure that policies actually work and actually make a difference on the front line.
Islamic Forum of Europe is a grassroots organisation helping develop the Muslim community and benefiting the wider society. Although IFE is not a political group, it has actively encouraged engagement by Muslims in the political process.
We've alhamdulillah managed to transform a lot of young minds and show them the way that if you take part in politics in your local area, you can actually impact change. Here in this area, like this prostitution, drugs and crime and knife crime are a big issue, big problem. So through our councillors and through MPs and local people, we were able to bring changes to society. Because this is your society. Unless you make change, who will? So it's not always about Muslim interests, but it's about the interests of the whole community.
When I asked Councillor Zafar what he believed was one of the biggest hurdles facing British Muslims, he told me it was the lack of political education.
Politicians are in the business of getting re-elected. And it's no surprise that they tailor their policies to groups that go out and vote.
Zulfi Bukhari of the Muslim Public Affairs Committee puts emphasis on Muslim leaders for failing to educate and guide the community on the practical steps they can take.
On the eve of the Iraq war, I was in the mosque, 2,000 congregants. We knew it was going to be a war. And the khutbah, the Friday prayer, big sermon, went out that said, get your daughters married early, don't get them an education, because then you will lose control. When Lebanon was being bombed, there was a puffed up so-and-so who was talking about the transcendental nature of Allah's hand. Is it a real hand? Is it a metaphysical hand? Lebanon was being bombed. The congregation knew Lebanon was being bombed. We walked out, I walked out of both situations after the prayers, and there was angry young men outside giving me leaflets and everybody else, leaflets telling them democracy was bad, how evil the West was, how many people were going to be killed or had been killed. And yet the mosque, the place to have that debate, the place to empower us, was silent on that issue.
We're kind of almost branding mosques as failing in their responsibility to kind of empower and lead the next generation. But at the same time, we're telling them that under no circumstances have kind of sermons that will charge people and make them think twice and politically active.
They're not really equipped to be able to lead the community somewhere. Or if they are, they're so worried because of the pressures of anti-terror laws and you know, investigation by MI5 and what we're seeing on the paper every day, that they're actually shutting everything down. They're saying, do not discuss politics. Do not discuss, you know, Palestine. Do not discuss Iraq. We don't have anybody with real vision that actually says that I want to take our community from here to there.
Not so long ago, I was locked in a debate about politics with a few of my Muslim friends when one of them became confused and asked what lobbying is.
It is essentially a process of engagement with those who make decisions, those who shape policies within the political establishment, whether it is at the local level with politicians or whether it is at a governmental level or even at a local council level. All these institutions, they make decisions that affect the lives of Muslims.
What's going on? You all right? Come, let's go inside. Let's have a look. Alhamdulillah, man. So what are you trying to do here?
Inshallah, what we're trying to do is make some kind of Islamic centre here, some kind of mosque, inshallah.
For this prayer room to be extended and turned into a centre, one would need planning permission from the council. Knowing how to lobby can sometimes become an essential requirement.
Once we have the planning permission, once we know that we can make this place Islamic centre or a mosque, then we can actually do, you know, something further.
Well, as we've heard anyway, there's a strong case to have a mosque here. And what's important that the Muslim community needs to do is be involved in how to effectively lobby
to get the facilities that they need. And that's my role as a councillor, for me to advocate on the community's behalf, to make sure that we get the facilities and services that we desperately need.
Nobody comes from any body in London to mayoral parties at City Hall, if I'm lucky enough to be elected, who doesn't pay for London living wage. Thank you very much.
In May 2008, Boris Johnson was elected Mayor of London by defeating his main rival, Ken Livingstone, by just less than 140,000 votes. What was significant about this event was that it characterised the position and capability of some of the British Muslim activists that took part in this election.
There were Muslims who actively campaigned for Boris Johnson, and there were Muslims who campaigned for other candidates as well. But the focus here will be on two Muslim groups who backed Ken Livingstone, how they operated, and the impact they had as a result of their lobbying.
I'm going to try to go down to the end of Green Street.
Which way are we going?
That way? You're going those shops down there. And we'll meet back here at 2 o'clock?
Cool.
We're just coming around because I don't know if you had the elections coming up the 1st of May. We're trying to create some...
The Muslim Public Affairs Committee campaigned to raise awareness and boost voter registration amongst the city's Muslim population. Other Muslim groups and individuals also took part in actively campaigning for Ken Livingstone.
We want the betterment for our country, we want the betterment of our people here in Britain, and it's only through good policies at home and abroad that we can guarantee that.
5 months before the campaign started, Enes El Tikriti founded a coalition of Muslim organisations that worked under a group called Muslims for Ken campaign.
We went out to, you know, the, if you like, the backbone of the Muslim community in terms of the Muslim centres, the mosques, the schools and the such, speaking to people.
We have a very good opportunity to change things or to make things even better for ourselves and our country in the next 2-3 weeks. We have an elections coming up. I want someone who is successful, who is good at his job, because I want for myself, for my family, for my neighbours, for my community, and for everyone living here in the city, I want for them better roads, better transport, better hospitals, better houses and the such.
Mr. Johnson, your minute.
For MPAC UK and Muslims for Ken, this election had extra significance.
Why not Boris? We said, well, because Boris Johnson's track record in terms of how he has addressed not only Muslims but ethnic minorities and racial groups making up London has been less than encouraging in the past, and we brought out certain statements that he had said in the past.
Boris Johnson, after 7/7, wrote an article in the Spectator magazine in which he said that Islam is the problem. He said we've got to break this taboo and say it's Islam that's the problem.
Boris has denied that he's anti-Muslim.
And I say that because I'm very proud personally of my own family's immigrant status, and I think if my own Muslim great-grandfather, how about that, my own Muslim great-grandfather, who fled Turkey from persecution in Turkey, but who came to this country in 1909, he knew that his great-grandson was standing for mayor of London today, almost exactly a century later, he would be very proud.
Had it not been for the Muslims for Ken campaign, many of the issues that Boris Johnson himself then started to talk about would not have come up. For instance, his own ancestry, coming from, you know, Muslim heritage, for instance.
That was four clear yeses. No, three clear yeses and one no, no, two noes, and yes, I'll try.
Whilst his initial campaign did not include at all any single mosque or Islamic centre, after the campaign and after this particular, he went and visited many, many mosques and many Islamic centres, and his team were actually, you know, looking for mosques to go and visit.
The fact that the Conservative Party was then producing a leaflet targeting Muslims and sending its activists outside mosques to go and distribute that leaflet, to me was a result, because it showed the Muslims were finally getting listened to as voters with power, as citizens.
By exerting pressure, MPAC UK and Muslims for Ken have shown that politicians do take notice and are forced to change their strategies. The mayoral campaign also highlighted some of the challenges British Muslims face. Just a little over a month to Election Day, thousands of Muslims in East London marched in a procession to celebrate the Prophet's birthday. MPAC UK saw this opportunity to rally voters.
We've got about 5,000 leaflets here. Inshallah, we're heading off to the mosque down on Catherine Road. There should be hopefully a lot of people there for the march, so we're going to leaflet them.
MPAC members were stopped for handing out leaflets. They were told it was a non-political march.
We'd agreed with the police that we weren't going to allow anybody to distribute leaflets or there won't be any political activity. It was a purely religious procession.
So, some of the stewards were asking us not to give out our leaflets on the street, public street, despite the fact they invited an MP down on the march. So, you know, you can't say this is not political when you invite George Galloway MP and give him a speech.
Brothers, sisters, wassalamu alaikum. Peace be on all of you.
One of the colleagues, he asked me for the mic, so I gave him the mic. And next thing, he gave it to George Galloway to speak. So, you know, it wasn't a planned event.
I can tell you, part of the attacks that the media and other people take against the community, against Muslim communities, is simply because you do not have the political power. Communities that hold political power can lobby, can get their MPs on the case, can bring questions up in Parliament, can hold to account some of the media sources.
I want to illustrate what Councillor Fiaz is saying. Let's pretend this football represents the majority of the British Muslim community. When such a community doesn't hold political power, it becomes vulnerable to being kicked around. But communities who do hold political power are strong and rock solid. Not many would dare to kick them around.
I think a lot of the people we interviewed were socially and politically active in their own communities, but they could only take it so far. They couldn't move forward. They weren't able to find the pathways or tools or avenues to take things further.
In a society such as Britain, you can make a positive impact. If you're unhappy about something, you can change it.
Founded in 2000, Arab Media Watch is an independent, non-profit watchdog striving for objective coverage of Arab issues in the British media.
The Daily Express published a map of Israel, and there was no border delineation between the occupied Palestinian territories and Israel. I wrote a letter saying that this is not the case. They fought us tooth and nail about it, but we went to the Press Complaints Commission, you know, we made a fuss about it, and in the end, they published our letter. And what's more important is that a journalist contacted us and said, listen, I'm a supporter, I support your work, I have to contact you anonymously, but I just wanted you to know that your letter had a big impact because all the Daily Express staff received a memo from up on high saying that this mistake shouldn't occur again.
Muslim lobby groups are starting to emerge. During the making of this programme, a new organisation called Engage was set up with the aim of allowing British Muslims to participate in political and media institutions and play a greater role in British society.
I'm kind of excited about today. We're holding an event on how to tackle Islamophobia and why the media matters and why lobbying is so important. We'll be able to educate them that, look, you can make a change, you can do it now.
MPAC have been working with mosques, holding various media workshops. They believe the answer to counter Islamophobia, racism and the misrepresentation of Muslims is to engage in and lobby the media.
If I kept saying to you Muslims are evil, violent, whatever, eventually it will become your own opinion and you will think, I hate these people. Once someone starts hating you, then that paves the way for anything to be done to you. And this story that was in the BBC quite recently about Shafilia Ahmed, a poor sister was forced into an arranged marriage and was murdered. Now, when there was mention in the BBC broadcast, they said this Muslim teenager has been forced. So they'll think, ah, those damn Muslims, their religion is forcing these poor kids into a marriage. We got the BBC to make a correction to that. Who's heard about Robert Kiyosaki, what he said about Arabs in the paper? Does anyone remember that story?
Yes.
Yeah, he was saying that they're suicide bombers, limb amputators, women repressors. We worked with other Muslim organizations and we got Robert Kiyosaki sacked from his position in the BBC.
MPAC hopes workshops like this one will help to activate and give confidence to the community.
Yeah, the event went really well. I mean, a lot of Muslims expressed an interest, and it was great to see, you know, the look on their faces to know that they can do something to tackle Islamophobia. Slowly but surely, we're going to start to see a change. And I'm excited for our next event.
I hope this program has shown you that the doors can be opened and that you can get your voice heard and be represented properly in Parliament and the media. But only when communities are involved and fully part of the debate on issues of the day can they start to make a greater contribution to Britain and the world.